Session number 17949.
No Small, Reel 4. You were just telling me about the state of health of the British personnel in Burma.
Yes, and I went in at the end of March, as I say, and at the end of July, I was flown out to Rangoon. So I was in Rangoon when they dropped the atomic bomb. I'd got over my dysentery by then. But in any case, our special group had broken up in disorder. We'd fallen out with our commander, who, for most of us, seemed far too fond of his Batman, a Burmese Batman that he had. And he accused, well, we accused him of that, and he accused everyone else of having lost their nerve and general carelessness. So he was withdrawn.
Why should his liking for the Burmese Batman have worried you? Security?
The Batman did what he liked. He wasn't amenable to anybody else's discipline. Oh, it was ruinous for discipline. I remember one thing which had happened. We picked up a wing commander and his navigator, whose plane had either conked out or been shot down. We had a member of E Group with us, basing lines, and this commander, I forget his name, and the navigator was called Bolito. And we had them with us, and they, of course, they didn't like being behind the lines at all. Although we assured them it was very safe. They wanted to be picked up, flown back. So the wing commander undertook the supervision of an airfield. We found an old paddy field and flattened it a bit and cleared a bit of the jungle at the end. And I reported that this was suitable for landing a Lysander on. And in due course, a Lysander came out and landed at one end of this field and went straight across and crashed into the jungle at the far end. And the pilot officer got out in a great rage and said, "Who said this was suitable for landing Lysanders?" And the wing commander said, "I said it was suitable for landing Lysanders." And from then on, until we got rid of them, the wing commander would regret that the exigencies of wartime forced the RAF to recruit oafs who couldn't really push a wheelbarrow. And the pilot officer would point out it was the curse of the RAF that the top ranks were old fossils who had learned to fly on Sopwith pups and thought a modern plane could be landed on a handkerchief. And this was the absolute ruin of the Air Force. We had them on different ends of our camp, I remember, because they weren't on speaking terms. But eventually we got another plane out, which took them all back.
At what stage did that crash occur?
Oh, this was, I suppose, June, something like that.
Coming back to this Batman, did you have any personal problems with him?
No. Oh, he's a nice boy. It's just that we were all under a great strain, I think.
Were you less happy in Burma than you were in France on the operation there?
Oh, they were so very different and couldn't compare them. For the months I was in Burma, I didn't sleep undercover for several months, even when it was raining. And in France, I ended up in a chateau. And of course, one was very hungry in Burma.
So a lot of the strain came from the discomforts and of living conditions.
And the illness and the insects and the weather, because one got very cold in the rain. I suppose some disappointment that we hadn't been withdrawn as they said we would be withdrawn.
Did you ever take any Japanese prisoners?
Only right at the end of the war. Before that, could you stop the tape a moment? What did I say? How far did I got?
You were just saying about the Japanese prisoners or their allies that you took.
The Japanese didn't surrender. At least not until the very end of the campaign. I had a Japanese prisoner who had been shot in the buttock, and the poor man was in a permanently crouched position. So he was just a chap for stoking my boiler. We had steam generators for our batteries. So this poor chap used to crouch in front of the boiler, feeding bits of wood in. Whenever he saw me, he used to draw his breath in, which is a sign of respect. So we kept him and handed him over to the army in the end. But when the actual fighting was on, the Japanese weren't taken as prisoners, and of course it didn't do to be taken a prisoner by them.
You said that you also captured some Indian National Army people. What impression did they make on you?
Well, one I remember is being a strikingly good-looking chap and surprisingly well-fed for people who had presumably been undergoing great hardship. I think he'd been an officer in the Indian Army. But we didn't keep him.
So he defected to the Japanese?
Oh, far more Japanese, far more Indians joined the Subhas Chandra Bose Indian National Army in the East than in Europe, because there were far more to. And many, I think, were recruited from Hong Kong and Singapore and so on.
So was he the only INA prisoner you took, or were there others as well?
There were others, but I remember this particular one. He was so scrupulously clean, always washing himself and so on.
Did you get the impression that they were an effective soldierly force for the enemy?
They weren't particularly effective compared with the British officered, or they were not entirely British officers. They had Indian officers as well, as the British Indian Army.
Under what circumstances were they captured? In an operation or just in as stragglers?
Stragglers. In the Japanese, although they were in desperate plights at the end, they were very good soldiers. I remember going down on one ambush, and we had white phosphorus, and we'd thrown this, and it lit up a whole platoon of them, I suppose, tramping along the road. And a Japanese NCO had stood up in the middle of all this, quite clearly in the phosphorus light, getting the men down, getting them firing, without any concern at all for his own safety. It's a very impressive soldiering. At of course, we didn't have much sympathy for them because they were abominable to the Karens. And as they moved through, they commandeered or stole what they wanted, what they could, and destroyed anything they didn't want or couldn't take. So one of our problems at the end of the war was to try and feed the people who'd had their food stocks destroyed or stolen.
Did you ever come across any Allied personnel who'd been prisoners of the Japanese?
No. I suppose we weren't really very far from some of the camps, but no, I never saw any of them until after the war, when I saw some in Rangoon.
How did you get out of Burma yourself in the end?
Well, we were being reformed in Rangoon. We were going to be dropped lower down into Burma because the army, when the monsoon had cleared, was going to drive down into Malaya, and it was assumed the Japanese would attempt to sidestep off into Siam, and that we would be in the hills to harass them as they went. But the atomic bombs put an end to all that. So hung around in Burma for a couple of weeks, then went back by plane to the area near Papoon. Papoon was the place where Seagrim had been executed. You know the story of Seagrim, no doubt. I saw the cage where Seagrim had been kept, made out of railway sleepers.
Did you learn much about him at the time?
I think we'd been told about him before we went in. I met some Karens who'd been with him.